Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, please. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, this is powerful, because what God is saying is the name of the title is sealed foundation. God is sealing foundations. And when I saw him begin to seal the foundation, there are foundations that are unsealed or not sealed yet. And a sealed foundation is protected. You think about when you're sealing concrete and whatever, it's protected by weather. It's been protected by attacks and so forth. Sealed foundation. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also useful lusts, but pursue what? Righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. A seal of foundation. The Lord knows those that are his, and they depart from the curse of rebellion. They cleanse themselves from the old and refresh them in the new. They associate with individuals with clean hands and a pure heart, stepping out of the false reality into the true reality. Yes, I will repeat it. As repentance is our guide to sanctification. Repentance is a guide to sanctification. There are human and inhuman acts, carnal and flesh acts, acts causing advancement or delays. Now, delays are activated by strongholds, which is, of course, memory lies, clouding the senses used by demonic forces. I'll repeat all this again. That just went out, you know. Okay, a seal foundation. The Lord knows those who are his, and they depart from the curse of rebellion. Because rebellion is a curse. You rebel, you bring a curse on you. They cleanse themselves from the old, and they refresh in anew. They associate with those with clean hands and a pure heart. They're stepping out of their false reality into the true reality. Again, as repentance is the guide to sanctification. There are human and inhuman acts, inhumane acts. There are carnal and flesh acts causing advancement or delays in a person's life. You know, a person may be in an area of a human act, but there's a difference of an inhuman act. Rape is an inhuman act. We may call lying a carnal human act, but there are acts that are inhumane, and then there are acts that are humane. Amen? There are acts that are carnal, and there are acts that are of the flesh. Those are the carnal of the mind. Again, these acts cause advancement or delays. And the delays are by activating strongholds. That's when a delay comes. because the individual's activated in a stronghold. It's a memory lie. And it clouds the senses of an individual and the enemy that's used by demonic forces, because he tries to bring an individual where there's clouded senses. Confusion is a clouded sense. Matthew 7, in verse 24, please. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock, which is the anointing. It's like concrete. You know? And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now look at the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Why? Because that foundation was sealed. It couldn't bust it. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. Now, one of the things the enemy tries to do is get that foundation unsealed. Again, it's like weatherproof foundation. It's sealed. Unsealed foundation begins to erode. That's why it's so important to always have repentance before you. You have Jesus before you, and you have repentance before you. Amen? Because we do some stupid stuff sometimes. Some carnal, human stuff. Hopefully it's never inhumane. Hello? But we do some stupid stuff sometimes. We make some dumb decisions, and we regret it later. Oh, man, I should have never done that. So you repent. And repentance always guides you to sanctification. Because when you repent, the blood is activated, and it brings you in a place of covering, sanctification. That's why people, the longer it takes to repent, the worse, the more you reap. That's why I repent right away. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3, 9. For we are God's what? Fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. That's one that's sealed or maintained the seal. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so much as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Again, when the foundation is built, it is built by God through man. So your obedience to God by the leading of the Spirit is building your foundation. Does everybody understand that? But only God seals the foundation. You cannot. The Holy Spirit builds the foundation through his people. And as the foundation is being built by your obedience, and as there's a level of place where God begins to see that the foundation is set, then he seals it. Does everybody understand it? But the enemy comes and tries to unseal your foundation. And it can become unsealed by rebellion, disobedience, sin, things to that degree. Love of money, inhumane acts. It can become unsealed. But it can always be resealed again through repentance. Why? Because repentance leads to sanctification. Everybody okay? Proverbs 10:22, please. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, And he adds no sorrow with it. So when God blesses you and makes you rich, now there's multiple riches. There's the riches of knowing him. That's the greatest riches there is, just knowing him, knowing who you are in him. And then there's the riches of blessings of materialism, so you can help others. It's not just for you. Amen? And there's no sorrow in it. See, the wealth of the wicked that the wicked have brings sorrow to them because they fear of losing it. But we don't care. Because whatever goes, I get sevenfold back. 23. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. That is a sealed foundation. It's called everlasting. Ezekiel 9 and verse 1. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand." And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen, and he had a writer's ink horn at his side. He went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the Lord of Israel had gone up from the cherub, which it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's ink horn at his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." That's pretty powerful. So what was the Lord doing? He was sealing them, just like he seals the foundation. And verse 5, to the others he said in my hearing, "Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young, men, maidens, and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." So they began with the elders who were before the temple. And he said to them, "Defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out." And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone and fell on my face and cried out and said, "O Lord God, will you destroy all the remembrance of Israel in pouring out of your fury on Jerusalem?" And he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of what? Bloodshed, and a city full of perversity." And so they say, "The Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. As for me, also, my eye will neither spare nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head." Just then the man clothed with the linen who had the inkhorn at his right at his side reported back and said, "I have done as you commanded." Wow. So these men were marked. They were sealed to prevent them from death and destruction. Those who were unsealed were killed. Amen. Of Revelation chapter 9, verse 3. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Does everybody see that? And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion, when it strikes a man. Wow. So again, they were sealed from torment. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Now, there's something to look at this because it's pretty powerful. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man. Everyone say son of man. So they were not sons of God. They were sons of men, even though a prophet. Nobody became a son of God until Jesus came. The sons of God prior to that were angels. Amen. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were kneaded in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphires, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Who is he talking about? Lucifer. Amen. You are the anointed cherub. That's the high-ranking angel who covers. Covers what? He covered the universe with praise. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Why? Because when God created, Lucifer was there. He saw it. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor, and I cast you to the ground, laid you before kings, that they may gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I'll bring fire down from your midst, and I will devour you, and I'll turn you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. And all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a whore and shall be no more forever and ever. Of course, we know that's not happened. But again, look at the area of he was the seal of perfection, but he became unsealed, didn't he? And God exposed why? Because of his arrogance, his stealing, his corruption, his lies. And he lived a life of that. He became unsealed and became ugly. He was beautiful. Then he became ugly. But he's a shapeshifter too, so he shows up as an angel of light. But behind that mask is a snake, a serpent, a dragon. He's not pretty anymore. Amen? Why? Because God unsealed him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God. Okay, so we just talked about the Son of Man. God called the prophet Son of Man. Son of Man. Never called him Son of God's. Now the Son of God comes into play. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he what? Might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been what? Born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow. In Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. Now we see the word sons of God in the new covenant, what we call the New Testament. Why? Because Jesus, now we are the offspring of Christ. We are not, Jesus was the Son of God, and we are now the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Amen? How? Sealed. We are sealed. And that's what keeps us in that foundation. If you, when you're sealed in that foundation, you are now a son and daughter. Hallelujah. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Powerful. Sons of God, sealed with a sealed foundation. And I'm going to close at Genesis 6, verse 1 and 2. Now we will expose the true sons of God that are the angels. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So they were sealed at one time, but once they began to do this, they became unsealed. And there was no more protection from them. Remember, when a foundation, an individual becomes unsealed, there's no protection. Amen? That the sons of God, the angels, saw the daughters of men, put on flesh, and they came into these women, took wives, and produced offsprings. Now their offsprings were unsealed. They were not sealed. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Praise God. So it's important that we understand these areas that we are sons and daughters of God. The sons of God were the angels, and when they decided to put on flesh, they became unsealed. Sons and daughters of God are sealed, and they are sealed with a foundation. That foundation must maintain a sealing. And again, the enemy tries to unseal your foundation by misleading and trying to cause you to sow in the flesh more than sowing in the spirit. It's vitally important. You know, one of the... Even in the area of our life now, you know, there's that law that doesn't, nobody escapes. Whatever you sow, you what? You reap. You don't escape it. And the Bible says this, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. But what was he talking about? Financial, labor. In other words, if you do things just minimum, you're going to receive things just minimum. But if you go the extra mile, you're going to receive things the extra mile. That's why it's important to sow and tithe and offering and so forth and labor. Because you're sowing into the kingdom. You're not sowing into yourself. God sows into you. Amen? Praise God. So remember, God will move through us to build the foundation, but only God can seal the foundation. That's why fellowship is so important. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And I pray that everybody's foundation here tonight will be sealed. And anyone's foundation that's not sealed, Lord, we ask that you'd move mightily to seal it and bring repentance, reconciliation, and humbleness, removing the individual from any pride or arrogance or haughtiness or rebellion so that that individual can be sealed and sealed with the foundation and personally sealed in their life in Jesus' name. Anybody said amen?